Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome back to the Des Bishop Podcast. Greetings from Queens, New York. Oakland Gardens, Bayside, Queens, New York, to be exact. In my mother's apartment, my last week staying with my mom. I move into my new apartment on the Lower East Side next week. Not that you guys need to know that. Apologies for the banging if you hear it. It's some work that's being done upstairs in the apartment upstairs. And anyway, the podcast coming up is just me chatting about a number of things that were sort of inspired by the Aziz Ansari story. And the topics we cover are the story itself. Although, you know, I'm unsure about how I feel about all that. So stick with the discussion, because the important part of the discussion is about consent, and most importantly about how men responsibility men need to take around consent. Because obviously a lot of the discussion is about women giving consent, but there's not a lot of discussion about men taking responsibility. So as I say in the podcast, and you'll hear it, allow me to be honest about the you know, what I was thinking in my head when I first saw the Aziz Ansari story. So stick with it as I try to make sense of it. And we get into the meat of what I wanted to talk about, which is consent. And then some more lighthearted stuff in the second half of the podcast about how we can make sex more positive for women, which was also inspired by the fallout from the Aziz Ansari story, which there was a lot of discussion about bad sexual experiences of women that don't fall under the category of assault or even misconduct, but just down to men's inability to read women. So there's a sort of second half of the discussion, which I try to be a bit more lighthearted. But anyway, needless to say, it's just me. I think it's a good chat. Stick with it though, because at the start I'm a little unconfident, and you know, I gotta be honest, hesitant, afraid to say things. But I listened back to it, and I think I worked that out, and I think it's a worthy chat. It's just my two cents to add to the discussion, and I'm very open to learning more and more about this. And so this is really just me trying to be part of the discussion and not thinking that I have so much to add to it. I'm just trying to just chuck in just a little bit. And anyway, here's the chat, and then we will chat to you soon on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, and we can continue the discussion. So here's me. First, for those that don't know, the Aziz Ansari story came out 2 days ago. You kind of need to read it, really. It would help you to maybe engage in this discussion a little bit more. And I also have to say that this particular podcast will have more questions than answers. As a man in 2018, I have a lot more questions, you know, about, you know, what's acceptable for me and all these types of things. You know, it's a changing time, and I'm open to that. I love it. You know, I think it's important. So this is part of that sort of journey of trying to understand things a bit better. But anyway, just a quick synopsis. Aziz Ansari met this woman at an Emmy party. I didn't like do a study of the story to give exact details, but they went on a date, which, you know, she wasn't content with as far as the initial part of the date went anyway. And then she ended up in a situation where she was very uncomfortable sexually, and she felt coerced. And when the experience was over, which was you know, different things went on. No intercourse, but you know, there was you know, a lot of stuff going on, and she felt that Aziz Ansari was very aggressive and completely unaware, unable to read her nonverbal cues about that she wasn't comfortable. And when she revised the scenario the next day, she felt particularly upset. It so happened that Aziz Ansari had texted her the next day to say, "I had fun last night," or a day or two later, "I had fun last night." And she texted him and said, "It wasn't fun for me. I don't know how you couldn't tell that." And then he apologized. But, you know, there's a lot of nuance and oddities in the story that you should read to understand this. What I thought was interesting about this particular story was it incited a lot of debate online, you know, there was a broad spectrum of ideas. I know myself, I immediately had some thoughts, and I would like permission to be as honest as possible in the acceptance that this is a discussion about things that I thought about and things that also came up in the media about this particular story. I'd like to have the freedom to talk about the different things that went on in my mind. But at the same time, I'm not saying that my word is, you know, that I'm right in any way. I'm just trying to have this discussion because I feel like this discussion around consent and responsibilities and women feeling safe is like something that a conversation we've needed to have for a long time. So my initial reaction, I have to say, upon reading the article was... I just don't see how Aziz Ansari is completely responsible for her discomfort in this situation. That's just me being honest. I thought that, and I'm a little bit influenced by comments I've read on Twitter since, but, you know, it looked like he was quite sort of unaware of her. I mean, perhaps I would go so far as to say, like, he's not great in the bedroom. There's things that we'll discuss a little bit later in more detail, but, you know, he does things like sticking his fingers in her mouth, and I won't, you know, you can read it, there's more detail in it, but and he's very aggressive, and I think it's without doubt most men will say that at least once in their life they've been in a situation where they were disregarded a woman's feelings, just in the sense that they were horny and they felt like they were entitled to push the boundaries. And I'm not suggesting assault in any way. I'm saying that I think most men would be lying if they said, "I have not been in a situation where I was a bit pushy in a situation where a woman didn't seem to be super comfortable." Now, she never said no, or she never said, like, "No, I'm not into it," but I definitely was, like, you know, a little on the horny, aggressive side. So, you know, like a lot of people said on Twitter, and like a lot of women posted on Twitter, like Jessica Valenti, a lot of men will not see what's fucked up about this situation. And to a certain extent, in my sense, I guess I read her tweet and I thought, yeah, I need to find out a bit more about why women read this and go, yes, I've been in that situation many times. But my initial reaction was, I don't see how Aziz Ansari is completely responsible for this, in the sense that, and there's loads of discussion about this online, you know, she had many chances, like she chilled it out. You have to read it, but she chilled out the scenario. You know, he was going to get a condom, and then she was like, yo, we need to, like, slow down. And he did slow down, but then he kept sort of, you know, he kept trying to instigate more sexual stuff afterwards. And, you know, they had gotten dressed again, but then he was trying to initiate it again. Yes, my initial reaction was such that I didn't see how Aziz Ansari was 100% responsible. Now, I see online there's been a couple of strong articles from female writers saying that this is not great that this article came out. It belittles genuine abuse. And I can see that argument. Personally, for me, what I thought was important, or what I wanted to talk about from the article, is you can judge men or not, or you can judge women or not, for not walking out of that situation. You know, like, you could judge her for not leaving, right? You can say you gave him a blowjob again. You know, he didn't force your head down. You could judge her for not leaving. Or, as a woman, you could say, "I've been in this situation so many times, and men never get it." You know, men never get the fact that, like, I'm not comfortable, and they keep pushing. And even though I never made explicitly clear, it should be very clear that, like, I'm like a fucking statue, and I'm just not, I'm not feeling it. You know, whatever, you know, whatever the, whatever way you want to look at it in terms of judgment, I actually don't think it's important, because it's like, it's one of those, I have my opinion, you have your opinion parts of the discussion. What I think is a good part of the discussion, which I see happening online, is the concept of what is consent, you know? And from the debate that I can see, you know, and I'm of the generation where it was like, no means no. That was the mantra, right? No means no. And, you know, if she says no, that's it. And if you jump past that no, then you're in the realm of sexual assault. You're in the realm of rape. You're in the realm of doing something that somebody doesn't want to do. Now, I was not aware that that discussion seems to have moved on, and that a lot of people are suggesting that it should be an enthusiastic yes is consent. And so I thought, well, you know, if I'm not aware of it, and then people aren't aware of it, that, you know, that's where the discussion is going. And I thought, yeah, I mean, that's interesting. You know, like, I mean, from the discussions that I'm seeing, like, there's way more women unhappy with their sexual experiences than I would have ever thought possible, you know? And even last night, after I did a set in the Comedy Cellar, and I was talking to a comedian, and she was just saying, like, every woman can tell you about numerous examples of shitty sexual experiences they've had, you know? And whether that's just part of life or not, again, that's another discussion. Like, that discussion is dealt with in depth in article in the New York Times, article in Atlantic.com. There's a lot of discussion going on right now about whether, you know, this is just bad sex and suck it up or whatever. But there are a lot of women having way more negative sexual experiences than I could have possibly imagined. You know, it's disappointing. It's concerning. And, you know, whether making sure people have positive sexual experiences is the important discussion that we need to have. The discussion about consent definitely is. And, you know, that's not being taught to men, you know? Like, that's one thing is for sure. It's not being taught to men, you know? And growing up, I definitely thought that, I really thought that my role was, I hit on the woman. You know, I ask a woman out. I initiate kissing. I initiate, you know, trying to sort of, I mean, like, this is the crude language of adolescence. Like, you know, what can I, you know, how much did you get off her? Or like, how far did you get? You know, that's the language, you know, like, we can't lie and say that's not the language, you know? And, you know, until recent times where you start to look at it from the female's point of view, you know, because I haven't had anybody directly come back to me ever in my life and say, that was a very negative sexual experience I've had with you. I've had people come back and be like, you're a fucking asshole, why didn't you text me back? But I've never had people come and say, like, oh, yo, that was a negative sexual experience. In terms of, like, I've never had anyone come back and say, like, I don't think you were, you know, I don't think you were clear with my messages where I was not comfortable, you know? But let's not pretend that up until recent times, I think most men would have thought that their role was push it, you know? And that's the thing I think we need to just say, like, push it is not the discourse, you know? Like, I can't say that, like, men have done anything wrong up to this point in terms of, like, doing what they thought was okay. But if we're now saying that it's not okay, let's make sure it's known that it's not okay. You know, I don't know if push it is too crude a term, but, like, that's what I thought I was meant to do, particularly in my adolescence. I mean, in adulthood, it's a little different, you know, because I think people are more mature and they discuss things a little bit more. And women are also, I think, you know, as you get older, women are maybe a little more clear about what they want and what they like and what they desire, so they can articulate that to you a little bit better. And that's better for everybody because the sex is better and everyone's comfortable. But, you know, in terms of you know, a period of time where people are unsure about what they want, and they're unsure about what, you know, what scenario is safe for them, or what scenario they want to be in, or also they're insecure, so they're not sure if they can say to the guy, you know, I'm not into it, without, you know, being judged, or, you know, they're worried about what people think of them. Like, you know, in terms of that time, I think we need to be real clear. Push it is not the way. You know, how far can I get is not the way. Whether enthusiastic, like I would challenge whether this kind of enthusiastic yes is the answer, because I, like, are we saying then that a situation where somebody says, let's just fool around, and then it escalates, like, due to sexual attraction and the natural, you know, the human body just being like, fuck, I definitely want more than I thought I wanted a half an hour ago. And if that then escalates, the enthusiastic yes is kind of an odd one for me, because you think you're reading a situation. Let's use the Aziz Ansari example just again, because it's all out there on paper. And, you know, most women go, I've been in this horrible situation before. But I guarantee you there's some men, including Aziz Ansari, that are going, I was not clear that you were that uncomfortable. So I get the enthusiastic yes as like an ideal situation, but I also think that not everyone's great at articulating their desires. So I think it's also important to make sure that we have a clear no scenario too. You know? Like, I think it's probably safer to say, let's make sure that we have a no as well as a yes, you know? And I think it's really important for men to start to understand how they can be sure, because I still think I think it's innate. You know, call me old fashioned, but I think it's innate. Men tend to be like, pursue the advancement of things more than women. You know, I think that might be in us. Now, if that's conditioning and if that's society, then let's tackle that too. But up until now, I would have been of the opinion that it's like innate, that the man is going to pursue. So let's be sure about at every junction, at every crossroads, a man knows that it's all right and a woman knows that she's comfortable. Now, I don't know how to make sure. I don't know how to make that clear, but like, let's just stop beating around the bush and let's make it clear, you know? Because if it's not clear, then we're going to consistently have situations where people feel hurt. You know, like, I do not doubt that this woman feels really fucking hurt in this Aziz Ansari situation. You know, whether it should be in the fucking paper or not is a separate discussion. You know, for what it's worth, I don't think it should be in the paper, but it's a separate discussion. I think she feels hurt, you know, and I think most women read that and go, I felt that way. And it's a shitty feeling. So, like, what's wrong with saying, let's have less people feeling shitty after they have a sexual experience? What's so wrong in saying, let's make women feel less shitty? Because I know I felt shitty after some sexual experience, but I know that I have not felt as shitty as this woman felt, and I know that I don't feel shitty on a regular basis, or certainly have as many experiences of shitty feelings after sex than women. Like, I can't compare it, you know? I'm always safer, because I'm physically stronger most of the time, you know? I'm emotionally, for some reason, I'm less invested, you know? All these things, you know, I could give more and more lists, but I'm not feeling as vulnerable as a woman. That's my personal opinion. So let's make it better, you know? I don't know how. I'll be looking forward to the tweets, you know? I mean, we could have fun with it, and, you know, you can say, like, I have a routine about how we need an app. Not a consent app. I see people saying that. I'm not talking about a consent app. I say we need an app to say, like, what a woman, you know, like, you put into the app what you want out of this particular, you know, thing, and then it tells you directions to, like, what a woman wants, you know, and it's a lighthearted routine about how women's sexual desires, or women's, like, things that women like, or things that turn women on, are very varied compared to, like, men are very simple, you know, like, you go at them and they're happy, you know, whereas women, like, one woman likes one thing, one woman likes another. That's a lighthearted routine, but, you know, and if it's a more serious discussion, you know, we need to make it clear. But I think it's tough to make it clearer, because I think if you look at the reaction to this Aziz Ansari story, women aren't clear on it either. Because for every woman that goes, I felt this way and this is fucking bullshit and Aziz Ansari is a scumbag, there's another woman going, how dare you put this out there in the midst of the Me Too movement as if this can be equated with the shit that women deal with. As if the fact that you went on a date with this guy and you went back to his apartment, and like going back to somebody's apartment is not saying I'm okay to have sex. I'm not saying that. It's beyond that when you're sitting there and you're still blowing him after you said you're not into it, you know, like, and then people say, well, it's hard to say no. And it's like, yeah, I get it. But what level does a woman have responsibility? There's like, there's as many sides, you know, coming from women. There's as many debates coming from women on both sides of this argument to say that women aren't clear either. So we need to get like real clear on it, you know. It's just better for everybody, you know, because, you know, people are more comfortable having sex nowadays. Like, morally, we're comfortable with it. Morally, we're comfortable with sexual interaction as leisure, sexual interaction as part of the way that we get to know each other. You know, we've accepted that's okay in society, you know? It's not like a dirty thing. So, people like rock climbing, but they fucking, you know, they use loads of safety shit so they don't get hurt. So like we need some fucking harnesses, you know, we need some shit in terms of our sexual interactions that stops people getting hurt, you know. So, you know, not that this is like the fucking touching the void of sexual relations, but like that's the discussion that needs to happen, you know. Again, I don't have the answers. I mean, I jokingly at the comedy side, because I was saying like, there's another side to this, which is like, you know, when people get hangry, you know, people get really hungry, they fucking do stupid shit. Like, you know, they shout at their friends and then they eat and then they're like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, you know, when a man gets horny, like he fucking makes bad decisions, you know, and by God, this is not a rationalization for any behavior that a man, any bad behavior a man might do when he's horny. But at the same time, it's like, it's like the same thing as when people say, like, if a woman is drinking, you got to be careful because you're not as protected, you know. So you say to a woman, like, you got to be careful, like, you got to be safe, you know. And it's the same thing when I say to men, it's like, yo, you got to be careful because you can make some stupid ass decisions when you're fucking horny, like not wearing a condom, for example. Like, let's take it away from the assault thing, because I don't want people to, in any way, shape, or form, think I'm trying to rationalize a man's behavior because he's horny, so that makes it okay. But like, so let's say, like, not wearing a condom. Dangerous on two fronts. You want to have a baby? Fine. But if you don't want to have a baby and you're not wearing a condom, you're an idiot, right? Number two, STDs. By the way, which is a separate discussion on how people have gotten way too comfortable with, you know, not wearing condoms, because birth control is so much more effective nowadays. I think people think, like, oh, I'm not going to get pregnant, it's fine. But, like, STDs are on the rise. But anyway, a man will fucking not use a condom. Or a woman, for that matter, the same. She gets really horny and she thinks, fuck it. Doesn't matter, you know. But then when the horniness disappears, it's like, what the fuck? When the cloud of passion disappears, you think, what the fuck was I thinking? You know, so you can make bad decisions when you're horny, right? So now let's take it back to the consent space, okay? Man and woman having fun, absolutely consensual. Then it gets to a point where the woman, whether she's loving it or not is irrelevant, but the woman says, this is where I want to be at and no further. Right. And of course, the guy is like horny as fuck and he's charged up as fuck and he's not going to assault her, but he's not going to let it go. You know, so he's going to think it's his duty to like be like, yeah, I get it. Let's not do it anymore. And then 5-10 minutes later, try to raise it up again, you know, try to get it going again. Try to, I guess in his mind, he's thinking, let me get her to want it enough that she thinks, fuck it. You know, and he's not thinking he's not thinking he's doing anything wrong. You know, he's just thinking, I want to make her horny enough that she wants to do it, right? So in that situation where if a woman says, no way, and I don't want it to go any further, and if it goes further later on because you made me horny enough to want to do it, I'm going to remind you that I didn't want you to make me horny enough to do it. So, like, I think that's okay for a woman to say. It's like, stop fucking trying to make me horny enough that I'm going to make a shit decision. So if you're in that situation, right, I think guys need to fucking find a way, or guys need to understand that it's their duty to step off and stop. And you can call this controversial, but I think guys, if guys are feeling like really fucking charged up, you know, if guys are thinking like, fuck this, man, I want this, you got to go jerk off. You got to go to the bathroom and fucking get rid of that energy. Because whatever it is about the human body, after you blow your load, everything changes. So some people will probably say that's controversial on my behalf, but I think like you gotta be safe, you know? And I think that's safe for everybody. That if a guy fucking has gotten so charged up that he feels like he's losing his ability to control himself, you gotta go jerk off, man. Because it's your fucking response. You're an adult man, or you're a teenage man, it doesn't matter. You're responsible for your behavior. You know, and your anatomy or the fact that you got a dick and a dick makes you make stupid fucking decisions is no excuse. You know, it's no excuse to say, well, she got naked, didn't she? You know, she got naked. Isn't that a nonverbal clue? Not an excuse, because a naked woman is still allowed to say no. You know, she came back to my apartment. It's like a fucking woman that wants a cup of tea and a cuddle is allowed to say no when you're trying to fuck her. You know, she was blowing me. That's a fucking nonverbal, that's a verbal clue, a nonverbal clue that says, I'm cool with what's going on. It's like, no, she's cool blowing you. That doesn't mean she wants to get fucked, right? So if you get to the stage where you're like, yo, blowing me is not enough, I want to fuck you, and she says no, and she wants it to stop, it doesn't even matter if you were, like, getting blown. You know, because a guy who's getting blown, he thinks it's his fucking God-given right to fucking get that shit to the end. But even if she decides at that minute, it's like, no, if you're not happy with me blowing you, I'm not finishing you off, and I don't want any more of this to happen. You can argue all you want about whether she's a bitch. That's not the discussion. She has every right to say, get the fuck away from me. You know, everybody has a right to say, get the fuck away from me. You know, women would say, yeah, but like lady, you don't play with fire. That's fine. That's a separate discussion. You can say that's playing with fire, but separate to playing with fire, that doesn't mean the man has no responsibility. So I'm telling guys, go fucking jerk off, man. Save yourself the fucking hassle, you know? Because the minute you blow your load, you're fucking done. If you can find another way, a less disgusting way to fucking power down, fine. But there are terms out there like blue balls and all these things. Like these terms, they're not scientific, but they're there for a reason, you know? Guys get fucking charged up, you know? So I'm a guy. I can't speak for women, you know? I can't speak for women. And I you know, I guess I can be a reverend or I'm a comedian, so what the fuck do I know? But, you know, I'll just speak to men on how men, you know, just some practical examples of how men can be more responsible. You know, that's my thought on it, you know. And I think that the discourse up to now has been that men have a certain right, you know. If you've gotten it to a certain level, then a man has a certain right, you know. Who the fuck do you think you are to turn off the tap? You know, that's the feeling. You know, and like I said at the beginning, I think men feel like it's their duty to push it. Like literally, I think men think it's their duty to push it. And I actually think, and women can respond to this or women can have this discussion. I think women think it's men's responsibility too. You know, I think women think, you know, I'll leave it up to him to fucking see where this goes. You know, and that too is dangerous, you know, because I mean, I think it would be better if a woman came in knowing exactly what she wanted. And that we both men and women found a better way to make sure that that's where it ends up, you know? Even though going back to like the condom discussion, like I think the problem with all these things that we're having is everything gets muddled when sexual desire kicks in, you know? And I could give numerous examples of, you know, usually about condom use, really about how, you know, the best intentions get thrown out of the water when both of you have just got to a place where it's like, ah, fuck, you know, damn it, you know, or you end up having sex in the car, even though you were just supposed to fool around in the car. Next thing you're having sex in the car. And then, you know, perhaps later on, both people are thinking like, well, that wasn't ideal. But, you know what I'm saying, you know, let's not pretend that, you know, all this stuff that's going on sexually is negative. You know, we need to be clearer about it. So, well, that was my little rant on that. I hope it's a positive part of the discussion. And again, I mean, in a way, I'm using you guys as a way to sort of, it's a sounding board for my own ideas, you know? And sometimes I argue with myself, and sometimes I, You know, sometimes I wonder why I get defensive on behalf of men in general, you know?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
And there's a lot of that going on, and that's a I have that discussion. I'm going to be talking to Adrian Appalucci, so perhaps in my next podcast, and perhaps we'll discuss that, you know, the defensiveness of men and, you know, whatever. That's another discussion, so we'll keep going down it. So now let's lighten it up, you know? Let's look at what the other thing that I've taken from this is. Oh, sorry, the other thing that I've seen, like, Twitter-wise, and from talking to women over the last... Well, actually, over the last longer while, because there's a much more serious discussion happening, which I don't feel as confident about talking about, because, you know, that's about discrimination and lack of equality and things that... Well, I'm a tall white man, so I don't speak with authority on what it's like to be discriminated against and what it's like to be unequal and what it's like to grow up feeling inferior because you don't have a dick. So like, I don't speak with confidence on that. I'm just trying to listen. But I guess in terms of a discussion like this one about consent, you know, that is that is the thing. And I guess the last thing we didn't discuss, is, you know, what is a woman's responsibility? Because sometimes I do feel, and this is like one of the things the New York Times article was discussing. There was an article by, I think her name is Bari, but you can read that. You know, just Google the stories about Aziz Ansari. But just in terms of this, like, you know, I guess sometimes you can see this narrative where it's like a woman is always like a hapless victim in this scenario of male sexual aggression, whereas in actual fact, like, you know, sometimes you have to take responsibility for your behavior. So, like, I do think sometimes that it's like, what's a woman's role? Like, I get it. Like, people are always saying, like, why don't men take responsibility for what they need to do? But, like, you know, it is a two-way street. And at the end of the day, if a man wants to do it and a woman doesn't, like, it's usually up to the person who doesn't want to do something to be quite clear that, like, this shouldn't happen, you know? The thing that I've been taking from Twitter and talking to women is that women are not having enough positive sexual experiences. You know, I mean, I've always thought that maybe like men can be inconsiderate in the bedroom, but I think there's way more people, way more women unsatisfied with their sexual experiences with men than I would have thought, you know? And well, we need to make that better, you know? And I think on a lighthearted note, number one thing that we can take from this Aziz Ansari story is we need to ban the claw. The concept of spreading your fingers wide and shoving your fingers into a woman's mouth to moisten your fingers so that you can then apply that moisture to another part of her anatomy is not sexy to me. And my understanding from a female reaction is it's not sexy to women either. And I would suggest that, you know, when we look at when people talk about that other discussion about what men think is sexy or what men think they're entitled to in the bedroom, I feel like that's a little bit connected to that whole porn discussion and, you know, a sense of male sexual gratification. And I just don't know why you would ever think that's a good idea. You know, I know some women like to have their hair pulled, and I know some women like when a man takes control. Like, I've had many women tell me, I like it when a man takes control. But How do you not think when you're sticking your fingers in a woman's mouth that she's not thinking like, did you fucking wash your hands, you fucking dirty ass? Like, I'm just sorry, but that just is like weird to me. That's like a weird dominating thing, you know? And again, I'm not judging Aziz Ansari. Maybe he just didn't realize that, but I think we need to ban the claw. Ban the claw, you know? There's just no, you know, if there's a cohort of women that are into the claw, then I think they need to, as part of our discussion about consent, I think they need to put that out there straight away. It's like, hey, by the way, I know it's banned, but I'm actually, I like the claw. And then they can waive their right to the ban. But in general, I think the claw needs to be banned. And I think men need to know that they should wait for a request to have their fingers thrust into a woman's mouth. You know, I can understand, you know, the simulation of oral pleasure has a certain titillation, you know, and some people would definitely be aroused by that. But the forcible thrusting of fingers for lubrication of your own body, what's wrong with your own mouth? That's my question. If indeed this thrusting of fingers is about lubricating somebody's vagina, then use your own mouth, you fucking dirty animal. Sorry, I'm not speaking directly to Aziz. I'm sorry. I'm speaking to the hypothetical of men that like to thrust their finger. In fact, the fact that it's called the claw, and a few women have said to me about the claw, I'm getting the assumption that this is a move. You know, this is a move that I was not aware of. So in a lighthearted section about what, you know, how do we please women better? Banning the claw would be one of the things. But I also think in general, just good bedroom acumen would be if a man is more into finding out what a woman wants, you know. Obviously, in terms of what she's comfortable doing, in terms of this discussion about what's consensual and what's not, or what's bordering on assault, but then on a let's assume this situation is entirely consensual, this hypothetical situation. I think men should consider it their responsibility to find out more about what a woman wants, you know, and because it's so disparate, and I guess because some men think it's their job to just know. And maybe some women are afraid to say it because they're afraid that a man might, you know, have his, you know, might be insecure or might have his masculinity challenged if she said, actually, not like that. I think we need to become way more comfortable. Because, like, look, nobody's fucking, there's no real Casanova, you know? There's no guy that walks in and says, I know what I'm doing. And there's no woman that goes, I know exactly what I want. Like, there's a communication that needs to happen, you know? So let's just put it out there that it's totally okay to discuss, you know, and it's totally okay to say, I like this, can you do it like that? And even if your previous experiences have shown that women like it a certain way, that maybe this woman doesn't, you know? And so as men, I think we need to try to make women enjoy it more, you know? I mean, Aliza Traeger, who's been on this podcast, has a routine about women aren't having enough orgasms. And, you know, like, it doesn't bug me, that routine, because I think it's hilarious. But what bugs me is, like, I definitely care, you know? And, like, the routine is all about men not caring. Like, I definitely care. Like, just on a personal note, I fucking hate when a woman doesn't come, you know? And since we're having a sexual discussion, I hope this is not crude. I think it's fine, so I'm not going to second guess myself. But, like, I like it when a woman has an orgasm. Like, not only do I like it, I consider the experience to be a negative experience if the woman doesn't, you know? And I get it, like, the woman does not always come, and, like, I also get that, like, one woman comes in, like, 5 seconds, and another one comes, like, in an hour, and, you know, the stars need to align, and they need to be super calm. Like, I get all that, you know, and there's a gazillion jokes you can make, and I think women can make them just as much as men. Like, there's a great spectrum between a woman's ability to orgasm, right? And for some women, it takes a fucking real long time to get comfortable with somebody. Some women, it's just literally like they could fucking sit on a park bench and come. You know, like, I get it, you know? Women have a great spectrum of their ability to orgasm. But on a personal note, like, I consider it a failure if there's not orgasm. But anyway, Lisa has this routine about women not coming, you know? And there seems to be huge acceptance of that in an audience every time. I mean, she does like an unscientific survey, but there's always a lot of women in the room that are unsatisfied sexually, you know? And as unsatisfied as a man might be sexually because he likes some weird shit, he's always coming. Like, pretty much all the time he's coming, you know? So I think as men, we need to, you know, we need a campaign that says, like, there needs to be more female orgasms happening in the world, you know? There are so many things that we need to do as men to make women's lives better. But since we're discussing this one area, women need to be having more orgasms, right? So how do we do that? I don't know. I mean, I have always suggested that the number one way that that should happen is more men need to understand that they need to go down and they need to learn what to do when they're down there, you know? And maybe I should talk to at Sex Shopper, who I haven't, you know, we've chatted a couple times on Instagram, but I always thought, I've always wanted to do a podcast with her, and perhaps this is a call, but, you know, perhaps we should, you know, discuss that a little bit more about how to make men more aware of how to go down. And I'm aware that some women are not comfortable with that, but, you know, I do think it's a more guaranteed way to make a woman happy. So that's just one of my messages. I mean, I'm talking to the men here, you know? So I think after banning the claw, more men need to go down. And I think that both men and women need to realize that if you truly want to be satisfied, I think it's better to wait to have sex. Actually, on two levels. Number one, I think you should try to wait as long as possible to have intercourse, just because there's an element of the more you know each other and the more that you've like built up a desire, I think the better it is when you finally have sex. But then secondly, I think, you know, if you're in a sexual relationship, I think it's better to wait as long as possible to actually like have intercourse, because, you know, I think for a lot of women, in my experience, in my research, it's usually more difficult to have an orgasm when the intercourse begins. So if you haven't got to a stage where a woman is satisfied before you start that, you're only making it harder for her to be satisfied. And that goes for women too, because I know sometimes whatever's in us, like the desire to just get to that spot, is so strong. But I think it's good to resist it. Now, people can argue with me, because at the end of the day, we've now gotten into some sort of weird sexual advice section of this podcast. So, but, you know, it's just one of the things I saw when I was looking at all this Aziz Ansari stuff, is that women are fucking, like, a lot of women have these bad sexual experiences, so we need to fucking stop them happening, you know? I mean, there's like a lot more to discuss about it, but I'm fucking sitting on my own in Alley Pond Park right now, on the edge of Queens, on the border of Nassau. I think I've said a lot. And I just, you know, in these situations, it's always fearful that you can say too much, you know? And, like, I have wanted, I'm not going to lie, I have started at least 8 of these in my car talking on my own podcast about the last few months. And I have not put any of them up because I am so afraid of the reaction, you know? And I guess it's unfortunate in a way, because, like, I like putting out my confusion. I think it should be okay to just put out the confusion to help the confusion dissipate, you know? Because I'm a 42-year-old man. I've grown up in a society, like, I've grown up in the patriarchy, you know? I've grown up in a misogynist society. And things that now we can see are clearly misogynistic did not seem to be a problem to me throughout my life. So I'm only learning this now, you know? I'm not making excuses, but, like, I'm literally only learning some of it now, you know? And they say ignorance is not a defense, but at the same time, like, if you don't know, you don't know, you know? Like, I always use the example of, like, my mother smacked the shit out of me. Not because she was a bad mother, but that's what you did. You hit your kids, you know? And she thought it was good parenting. Now it turns out it's not good parenting. Like, I do not resent my mother for fucking smacking me, you know? And so, like, I'd like to think that people won't resent me for elements of just complete and utter ignorance about certain aspects of the patriarchy and misogyny. But at the same time, I can be a little bit afraid to chuck out my confusions about things, because I'm worried about that pile on, you know, that happens, you know? But I also, like, I put up the Maeve discussion because I don't give a fuck when it looks like, you know, like when I don't articulate myself well, you know? If that helps, you know, if that helps the discussion, fine. But that's not always the case. Like, I put up the Maeve discussion because she wanted me to put it back up, but I haven't put up my own discussions because I still, you know, I know I'm contradicting what I just said, but like, I still get afraid of being misunderstood, you know? Like, I still get afraid of people suggesting I've done something wrong because I've put out a discussion, you know? So with this one, because I, you know, to be honest, with this one, I just feel it's a little more safe. Like, I feel it's a little less controversial. So I piled on this one. Plus this consent discussion is one I wanted to have for a long time. So I said, fuck, I'm gonna put this one up. But, you know, I do think that men need to join the conversation more. Like, not the conversation of trying to argue about what's our responsibility or not, but just join the conversation more to say, this is what I don't know. You know, if you could help me to understand it, that'd be great. You know, and even to be honest, man, this, if you look back on this podcast series, man, like there's so many times where like I'm trying to understand the plight of women better, you know? So I hope we can continue that. You know, and I'm not like a lot of people accusing Aziz Ansari, like, oh, he's a these guys that claim to be feminist always turn out like that's fucking bullshit. Not about Aziz Ansari, but just like you're allowed to be wrong. You know, you're allowed to care and make mistakes. You know what I mean? Like, you're allowed to try and not succeed. You know, so like a lot of this, to be honest, this discussion today is like talking to men about how men can better understand it. But at the same time, I'm also saying to women, like, help me understand, but don't judge me. Or, well, you can judge me, but like, don't fucking completely tear me down or tear somebody down if they're not getting it right straight away, you know? And I think that's healthy. And I'm not judging anybody on that, but I'm just saying like that can happen, you know? That can happen when you have a discussion where you can't understand the victim. Like, I cannot understand 100% how a woman feels to be part of the patriarchy. I can't understand it. Didn't have the experience, you know? So I'm going to fucking be dumb sometimes, you know? But I'm trying not to be dumb, you know? So that... And in fairness, if somebody said to me, what's the goal of your podcast? I'd say, well, it's to be entertaining and interesting and informative, but also I'd like to help it to learn me to be more informed about various things, you know, whether it be Islamophobia with Nazim and with Mo Amer, whether it be, you know, sexism and misogyny with Maeve and Mia and Ashling B, you know, whether it be race with Godfrey, you know, and Mia also, actually, Mia Jackson, you know, like with all these things, I'm trying to, you know, help get, like, inform myself as well, you know, because I figure if I'm learning, then we're all learning. And if we can have fun while we're learning, great, you know. So that's where we're at with that. One of these days, I'm going to censor myself on that. I'm not going to complete that. In the future, I'll come back to a couple of podcasts that were up recently. But I guess I'll leave it at that. You know, I have a message in with Adrian Appalucci. We've already agreed that we're doing the podcast. Just coming down to a time. I may even do it later today. Tonight is my night off. I have no show, so. But I may still go in and try to have a chat with Adrian about all this. And so, you know, I guess there's nothing else. Oh, you know, the last note I had was, should the Aziz story have been printed? And, you know, I just don't think it's that important right now. Like, I get it, you know? Some people feel it's unfair. And I think that's an important discussion. I'm just not sure I want to have it. Like, you know, I think everyone has their own opinion on that. I mean, personally for me, I think it's a little fucked up, you know? You know, I just think that you know, weirdly enough, there was a piece in the Atlantic. I think it was a piece in the Atlantic, and it was like the humiliation of Aziz Ansari, I think was the title. And I had said the first night in the Comedy Cellar when we were discussing, I said, there's a part of me that feels like this is like revenge porn. And then the Caitlin something is the writer of the Atlantic piece, and she said that she used revenge porn also. And so that was definitely my initial reaction. I think there is an element of like, and other women that I've talked to have said like, that's buyer's remorse, and that doesn't give you the right to then say, you know, in hindsight, you know, you were assaulted if you didn't make it, you know, if it was clearly like consensual, you know. But anyway, I'm conflicted on all that stuff because I think it's fucked up that the story was printed, but I actually think that there's huge positives to come from the fact that it's been printed, because so many women have went, yes, I have been in that situation. And I don't think Aziz Ansari's career should be fucked up. And I think maybe let's say it this way. Maybe in a couple of years' time, by the way, other shit might come out about Aziz Ansari. And I don't want people to suggest that I'm like defending his fucked up behavior, you know, because like I'm just discussing what's on the page, you know, what we've seen up to now, you know. And that's the other danger about talking about these things is there's so much fucking shit coming out. You know, you defend somebody and it turns out they're way worse than you thought. But so I'm not defending Aziz Ansari, but maybe, just maybe, in like 5-10 years' time, people will look back and be like, that was great that Aziz Ansari story came out. And Aziz Ansari himself might look back and say, you know, it was great because I don't really think I did that much wrong. Or certainly at the time, I didn't think I was doing that much wrong. But hey, I was unaware of how my aggressive, selfish sexual behavior was affecting other women, you know? And I think a lot of men weren't aware, and now they're aware. And even though it was super embarrassing at the time, I'm happy to have been the guy that helps that discussion happen. Maybe. So I don't think the story should have came out. I think it was irresponsible journalism. I think it was written terribly. If you see the thing about the red wine versus the white wine, like that's fucking ridiculous in an article that's trying to talk about a woman being a victim, you know, to trivialize certain aspects of the date like that is crazy, you know? And to also, you know, in an article about consent, to then have a section of it where it's like, I sat down hoping that he would like twiddle my hair and all that. It's like, yo, if that's what you want, you got to articulate it, you know? And that was the New York Times piece was like, it's a story about how Aziz Ansari can't read minds, right? So it's like, I think it was badly written. I don't think you should include those bits in a story that's about, this is how I really felt, because it also proves that you sent out confusing messages. But then at the same time, I think if this story wasn't printed, we wouldn't be talking about this. Or maybe, you know, maybe like because he's a famous man that it, you know, it just gives it a lot of airtime. So, you know, maybe it's good that it came out. But I think it's fucked up that it can come out, because I actually think, you know, that this is something between two people, you know, like I think a private encounter shouldn't be public like this. That's why I use the term revenge porn. But then on the flip side, I think it's such an important time. It's a revolution, you know, it's literally a revolution that we're in the middle of, you know. And so, of course, there's casualties in a revolution, you know. And if this is his wound, then it's not the worst casualty to be inflicted in the revolution, you know? You get your Purple Heart and you fucking drive on, you know? So, viva la revolution, you know, I guess. I mean, when you're a man, equality is oppression. Let's face it, you know? Men are uncomfortable with this because, fuck, man, we didn't have anything to worry about before, you know? Like, let's face it. You know, we didn't know. I didn't know how privileged I was. But at the end of the day, man, now that it's becoming clear and clear, it's like, oh, fuck. You know, I have benefited from some fucked up shit. And now, one, I have to admit it. And two, it's going to change. So, you know, I say viva la revolution, but of course it's fucking challenging. And of course, like, you're going to get defensive, you know? Of course you are. But I don't think it makes you a bad person, you know? I really don't. to be like, oh, wait a minute. Whoa, what about you? What about women? You know, like, I get it. I totally get it. You know? I mean, I can't stand all these right-wing idiots that are like, so what do we need? Fucking triple consent form now? What do we need? Triple consent form just to get a hug? I'm not fucking talking about. I that's not the thing that I'm talking about. But at the same time, like, it's okay to fucking be wrong. It's okay to be defensive. It's okay to put it out there straight away because that's how the discussion happens. You know? I mean, the fucking discussion online is just so irrational and, you know, it's insane. But the more broad, nuanced, well thought out discussion, you know, that's what's happening. And I don't think people should say, oh, this belittles the Me Too movement, this article, you know, because they're two separate things. I personally think they're two separate things, you know. And so on all fronts, I mean, I know I've chosen to try to advance the discussion on a less controversial front, but on all fronts, I say, viva la revolution. But revolutions are fucking messy as fuck, you know. After the Irish Revolution, we had a fucking civil war. So, and there's many, many examples of the, you know, revolution. After the Arab Spring, we had fucking hell, you know. And I know that this is a different type of revolution, but let's face it, man, they're messy as fuck, you know. They're messy as fuck. So here we are in the mess, you know. Let's tidy it up. And when the fucking place is clean, let's make sure it's a fucking a better world. You know, when we fucking, when the revolution, as the revolution continues, because this is not one of these ones that's just going to be over, you know. This is going to take a long time to change, but, you know, as it changes and we get clearer, you know, let's make sure that we leave it that way. You know, because people keep talking about, oh, there'll be a backlash and all that, but, like, let's try to make sure that doesn't happen, and let's keep the conversation going. So thank you. Thank you for listening, and I will sign off here. Normally I go home and do my little thanks for listening, but sure, it's just me. So thanks for listening. There'll be more podcasts in 2018. Adrian Appalucci coming up. Judah Friedland is coming up too. We just got to find a time with him. Judah Friedland has a great new Netflix special out, which he just taped in various nights at the Comedy Cellar over a period of time. So it's super cool, super unique, worth checking out. So we'll have him in the next week. And in separate news, I have actually been thinking about doing a podcast about Irish sex, like not Irish sex, but just like a podcast for Irish people about sex called Gnace in Your Face. You know, so just like an upfront, not unashamed discussion about sex in Ireland. So we might be doing like a spin-off of the Des Bishop podcast called Gnace in Your Face. So if you're into that, let me know. I might try to find somebody to do that with. But I'm going to be over here, though. I'm going to be in New York. But I might try to, maybe I'll try to find an Irish woman who's based in New York that I get on well with, and we can have like a weekly discussion about all matters of bedroom politics or bedroom behavior. So look out for that. Gnace in Your Face. And what else? Oh, I'm in Calgary, Alberta, January 25th, 26th, and 27th. So check that out. I'm also in Long Island in February, and I'm in Boston in March, and I'm in Caroline's in New York on March 17th, and then I go to Australia. Add me on Instagram. Let's get the discussion going on Instagram, at Des Bishop. Let's keep the discussion going there. I put up a picture of my notes for this podcast, so if you have any comments, leave them up on Instagram, at Des Bishop. And thank you all for listening. Spread the word that the Des Bishop podcast is back on the regular. Listen back to the Matteo episode and the Jessica Delfino episode if you haven't listened to those. And give us some likes on iTunes, especially if you're in the States, because like on the American iTunes we've got nothing, you know. On the Irish iTunes we do okay, but on the American iTunes we get shit. So give us a like if you're over here in the States, and if you're in Australia, give us some likes, okay. I don't want to be desperate for likes, but I just want to be open when I communicate with you. I need some likes. Give me some 5-star likes. Okay, guys. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.